Welcome to Zichud Daf Simani. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Erevin Daf Tes Vav. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, there's a machlokas on the rhyme regarding lechi ha'omed me'ilav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of the mavui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mavui, such as a tree. Abai said it is valid, and Rava says it's not valid as a lechi. The Gemara clarifies that everybody agrees that it's not a valid lechi when they didn't intend to use it as a lechi Erev Shabbos, as they're planning on using another lechi that subsequently fell. The machlokas is in the case where they intended Erev Shabbos to use it as a lechi. After determining through a number of proofs that Abai and Rav agree that a mechitza that was not originally erected as a mechitza is valid, the Gemara concludes that Abai says the lechi is valid because he holds a lechi serves as a mechitza. And Rav says it's invalid because he holds a lechi serves as a heker, and will only serve as a reminder if it was originally erected as a lechi. Point number two, the next mission introduces a number of machlokasim regarding using living things for lechis, tomb covers, and gittin. Regarding gittin, the Tanna Kamma holds kosin olav gittin nashim. One may write a get on living things. Rabbi Yossi Glili posim. Rabbi Yossi Glili invalidates such a get. The Gemara explains that both the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yossi Glili derive the halacha from the pasuk v'kasav lav sefer krisus, and he shall write for her a bill of divorce. Rabbi Yossi Glili learns from a kasavla that he may write it on any type of writing surface, not just parchment, whereas Sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a Sefer, not food or living things. The Rabbanan learned that Vakasavla means she cannot be divorced with money, and Sefer teaches Lesfira's Divine Ba'amahudasa that it should be a narration of words that convey that he is divorcing her. And point number three, the next mission teaches that if Shiara Shechansa Babika, a caravan encamped in an area of open fields, which is considered a karmelis, that surrounded itself with animal trappings such as saddles and saddlebags to serve as partitions, they may carry within it provided that Shiye Gadar Gavo Asar Tfachim, the partition must be 10 Tfachim high, Oye Pirzos Yeseris Albinyan, the total gaps should not be more than the total walls, and Kopirza Shika Eser Amos Mutaris Mifneshi Kapesach. An opening of 10 amos is considered a doorway, and they can carry there. More than 10 amos is considered a pirza, a breach, and carrying would be forbidden. So once again, the 3 points are number one. There's a machlokas amoraim regarding lechi ha'omed me'elav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of the mavui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mavui, such as a tree. Abai says it is valid as a lechi, and Rava says it's not. The Gemara clarifies that everybody agrees that it's not a valid lechi when they didn't intend to use it as a lechi of Shabbos, as they were planning on using another lechi that subsequently fell. The machlokas is in the case where they intended Erev Shabbos to use it as a lechi. After determining through a number of proofs that Abai and Rav agree that a mechitza that was not originally erected as a mechitza is valid, the Gemara concludes that Abai says the lechi is valid because he holds a lechi serves as a mechitza, and Rav says it's invalid because he holds a lechi serves as a heker, and will only serve as a reminder if it was originally erected as a lechi. Point number two, the next mishnah introduces a number of machlokasim regarding using living things for lechis, tomb covers, and gittin. Regarding gittin, the Tanna Kamma holds kosin olav gittei nashim. One may write a get on living things. Rabbi Yossi Glili posim. Rabbi Yossi Glili invalidates such a get. The Gemara explains that both the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yossi Glili derive the halacha from the pasuk v'kasav lav sefer krisus, and he shall write for her a bill of divorce. Rabbi Yossi Glili learns from v'kasav lav that he may write it on any type of writing surface, not just parchment, whereas Sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a Sefer, not food or living things. The Rabbanan learned that v'kasav lav means that she cannot be divorced with money, and Sefer teaches l'sfiras devarim ba'amudasa, that it should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. And point number three, the next mishnah teaches that if a shiar shechansa babika, a caravan encamped in an area of open fields, which is considered a karmelis, that surrounded itself with animal trappings such as saddles and saddlebags to serve as partitions, they may carry within it provided that she had gather gavo asar tfachim, the partition must be 10 tfachim high, liya pirzas yaseres albinyan, the total gaps should not be more than the total walls, and kol pirzas shikasa amos mutaros mifnei shikapesach, an opening of 10 amos is considered a doorway, and they can carry there. More than 10 amos is considered a pirza, a breach, and carrying would be forbidden. All right, so now we go to our siman for Tes Vav. So the siman is a fruit bowl. And the reason why it's a fruit bowl, because Tezvav is two, which reminds us of Tu B'Shvat, which makes us think of fruit, and therefore we're going to use a fruit bowl as our simon. So here goes. The strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to set up their encampment. Once again in slow motion. The strange scene of a fruit bowl, that must be one duff, Tezvav. The strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, which reminds us of the Malkokas regarding lechia omed me'ilav, a lechi that happens to be positioned properly at the side of the mabui, but was not originally placed there to adjust the mabui, such as a tree. Abai says it's valid and Rava says it's not. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, which reminds of the Malkokas regarding writing a get on a living thing, and that both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi Aglili derive their positions from the same pasuk, v'kasavla, sefer krisis. So the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to set up their encampment. Which reminds of the Mishnah of Shiar Shechansa Babika, a caravan encamped in open fields, using saddles and saddlebags to surround themselves and the various requirements regarding their positioning. So once again, the strange scene of a fruit bowl under a tree that served as a lechi, next to a cow with a get written on it that was also being used as a lechi, caught the attention of a caravan passing by on their way to set up their encampment. Now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Yud Aleph. So the symbol for Yud Aleph is stars, related to the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. Gold stars, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Aleph. Gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in the chatzer with lots of entranceways and windows, which reminds us, Rav amended our mission to read, that a mabui entrance that is wider than 10 amos and has a tzuritz of Pesach must be decreased. Rav Yosef deduced from this that Rav would hold chatzer sheruba psachim v'chalonos en aniteres but tzuritz of Pesach. In a chatzer enclosed by walls, consisting mostly of entranceways and windows, carrying is not permitted by means of a source of Pesach that frames each of the openings, since parts meruba omet, the total gaps are more than the total walls. The Gemara rejects this because an opening of 10 amos is considered a greater breach than openings that collectively exceed the wall segments, from the fact that in the case of pasibiros, boards enclosing wells, we permit them with parts meruba omet, but we do not permit them when the space between the boards exceeds 10 amos, according to Rabbi Meir. Therefore, according to Rav, a tzuritz of Pesach may help with a chutz with many openings, even though it doesn't help with a mabui entrance wider than 10 amos. So gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in the chutz with lots of entranceways and windows for their model of a tzuritz of Pesach with a straw door, which reminds us the Gemara cites several rules regarding tzuritz of Pesach. Rav Chisid said, tzuritz of Pesach sha'asim min atzad lo'asim lo klum. A tzuritz of Pesach that was made extending from the middle of the poles accomplishes nothing. He also said that a tzuritz of Pesach must be strong enough to support a door, even if the door is only made from straw. Reish Lakish said in the Merv Yanai, tzuritz of Pesach sricha heker tzir. A tzuritz of Pesach requires an indication of a hinge, which Rav Avya defines as a pivot hole. An actual door, though, is not required. A Braisa taught that a tzuritz of Pesach consists of kana mikan v'kana mikan v'kana al gaben, a pole on either side of the opening and a pole on top. It's a Malkokas Amarayim whether the crossbar needs to touch the side post. Rav Nachman says it doesn't. Rav Shesha says that it does. So gold stars were awarded to the children who lived in a chatzer with lots of entranceways and windows for their model of a tzuritz of Pesach with a straw door, which they proudly displayed in the Mabui Sasum that had a lechi and a korah. Which reminds the next mission the Perek introduces a Malkokas regarding a Mabui Sasum. Beis Shammai holds that it requires a lechi and a korah. Beis Hillel holds that it requires either a lechi or a korah. And Rabbi Glazer holds that it requires two lechis. The Gemara suggests that Beis Shammai holds that four mechitzas are required midaraisa to enclose a Rosh HaZiyachi, but concludes that Beis Shammai may only require three mechitzas to be chai for transferring to Rosh HaRabim, but the Rabbanan, a fourth mechitza, was required to permit caring within the Rosh, which can only be fulfilled through both a lechi and a korah. Daf Yud Beis, so the Simfer Yud Beis is 12 brothers, so here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers busy banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer, which reminds us, an entrance of a chatzer that opens into an area that items from the chatzer cannot be carried into, such as another chatzer that didn't make an Arab chatzeris with, or a rishus rabim, and needs some type of adjustment in order to permit carrying within the chatzer. There's malchokas and a brace regarding what is required. The Tanakhama holds chatzer niteres bepas echad, a chatzer is permitted by placing one board at the side of the entrance to serve as a side post, Rebbe holds b'shnei pasim by placing two boards. There's machlokes regarding the width of each board. Rebbe Yossi holds that each board has to be at least three tefachim wide. Rebbe Yochanan, explained by Rebbe Zerah, holds that one is the option of using one post that is four tefachim wide or two posts of any size on each side. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in their wall, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa, l'shen yam ha'niknas l'chatzer, if part of the sea flowed through an opening of a chatzer wall. If the breach is more than 10 amos, one may not take from the water in the chatzer because it's considered part of the ocean, and it would be taken from a karmelis to a rishus yachid. If the breach was 10 amos or less, he can take from the water in the chatzer because the opening in the wall is considered a pesach and not a breach, and therefore the water within the chatzer is considered to be within a rishus yachid. The Gemara infers that even if the breach is larger than 10 amos, yesli gudude, if the breach part of the wall is not breached under the water and is 10 tefachim high, the chatz retains its status of rishus yachid and they may carry within it, although drawing water from it would still be forbidden. So the 12 brothers banging two posts into the entrance of their chatzer didn't notice water from the ocean flowing through a breach in the wall and flooding a mavli mafulash with a lechi serving as a mechitza. Which reminds Rabbi Yehuda said that a mavli which is not fit for shituf, meaning a mavli mafulash, which one adjusted with a lechi, the one who throws an object into his chai for transferring from rishus rabim into rishus yachid. If one adjusted with a korah, however, the one who throws an object into it is putter. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lechi serves as a mechitza and the korah serves as a heker. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds three mechitzas are deraisa, therefore placement of a lechi, which he holds as a mechitza, makes it a rishus yachid. Rabbi held the same position. Rabbi said, echozev, echozev, mishum heker. Both of these, the lechi and the korah, serve as a heker. Therefore, one who threw into the mavui would not be chayiv. Daf Yud Gimel. So the sim for Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who was laning the parsha of Sota beautifully until he noticed some letters were erased, which reminds us there's some machlokas in a braisa regarding putting kankatom into ink, which makes it impossible to completely erase the ink, in order to write the parsha of Sota in a Sefer Torah. Rav Yudah said that Rav Meir used to say that one may put kankatom into ink for writing a Sefer Torah, except for the parsha of Sota. Rabbi Yaakov said in Rabbi Meir's name that it may be used to write the parsha of the Sota as well, but not for writing the parsha of Sota that was used in the base of Migdash for the Sota waters. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the practical difference between them is whether it's valid to erase the psukim from a regular Sefer Torah in the bitter waters of the Sota. In order for the psukim to be valid to be used for the bitter waters that a Sota must drink, it must be words that are able to be erased. Therefore, a coined Rabbi Yehuda holds that psukim from regular Sefer Torah are valid to be used, to be put inside the Sota waters, one cannot put kankatom into the ink. According to Rabbi Yaakov, however, they are not valid, and therefore the psukim of a regular Sefer Torah may be written with ink that has kankatom in it. Only the parts of the Sota that was used within the base of Migdash may be used. Therefore, it's only these psukim that may not be written with kankatom. So the bar mitzvah boy who was laying the parsha of Sota beautifully, until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochet to have great teachers. Which reminds us, Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that he was originally Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he wasn't able to discern his final psak, given Rabbi Akiva's ability to defend both sides of a position. He went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, but Gemara, to learn the various traditions, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva, Vasarva Savora. He studied them with great analysis. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina said that there was none in the generation like Rabbi Meir, but they didn't fix the halach leichem because his chaverim could not fathom the depths of his reasoning. For he could assert effectively that something tame was tahor, and vice versa. Rebbe said that the reason that he was sharper than his chaverim is that he saw Rebbe Meir from behind, and if he had seen the front of him, he would be even sharper. So the bar mitzvah boy who was laying the parsha sota beautifully, until he noticed some letters were erased, was blessed by the Rav who said Meir should be zochah to have great teachers, and always exemplify the midos of Beis Hillel. Which reminds the Gemara asks why Beis Hillel merited to have the halacha fixed according to their view, and answers, because they were agreeable and forbearing, showing restraint when they were challenged, and they would study their opinion and the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Rashi explains they would make great effort to show how the psukim that Beis Shammai brought as proofs could be understood differently. And not only that, but they would even quote the words of Beis Shammai before their own. Daf Yadal. So the symbol for Daf Yadal is hands, and we're going to use a juggler because he has very skilled hands. So here goes. The juggler. Juggler, that must be more on Daf Yadalad. The juggler is doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis stated that a korah must be wide enough to hold an ariach, a half brick. An ariach is 1.5 tefachim, which means that it's sufficient for the korah to be 1 tefach in width. In a brayso on this daf, it was taught, if one placed two twin korahs over an entrance, and each one alone was not wide enough to hold the ariach, but together they could, since combined they're a tefach wide, no other korah is necessary. If their combined width was not a tefach, they're invalid and another korah must be used. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if two korahs can be positioned to hold an ariach lengthwise so that the distance between their outer edges measures 3 tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah, even though their combined width does not equal a tefach. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water, which reminds that the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel on base also stated that if the korah was round and therefore incapable of holding an ariach, we view it as if it was square, meaning as if it was planed down to a flat surface. The way to know if the circular korah is a tefach wide is by following the rule that kol sheyesh be'akefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. Whatever round object has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a width of a tefach. The Gemara teaches that the source for this principle is learned from the Yamshel Shlomo, which Shlomo Melch made in the base of Migdash of the Kohanim to use for a tevila. It was 10 amos in diameter and 30 amos in circumference. Rav Chiya taught that it could hold enough water for 150 mikvos. So the juggler was doing great juggling torches over two twin korahs until he missed and they fell into a 10 amos in diameter tub of water next to the lechi in the middle of the mavui. Which reminds us, a braisa taught, Asa lechi lechetzi mavui, ein lo el lechetzi mavui. If one made a lechi for half a mavui, so the lechi stands in the middle of the side wall instead of the front, he can only carry the mavui half that was adjusted. After questioning why the braisa needed to teach the seemingly obvious point, the Gemara answered that one might have thought that it should be prohibited to carry even in the adjusted half, out of concern that someone will think that it's permitted to carry in the entire mavui. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which of the one the Rav Chisid said that a Tzuras of Pesach has to be strong enough to be able to hold the door, even if it's just a straw door? That's on Duff. Yudolf. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that it's a Chazak that people won't abandon a large entranceway for a smaller one? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 3. Which of the we have a Melchokos regarding Alechia Omed Me'elav, such as a tree, and whether it can be used as a lechi? That's on Duff. Tezvav. Good. Number 4. Which of the one what the din is for a kor meshuchah tuluya? That's on Duff. Tes. Good. Number 5. Which of the one about a shiar shachan sababika caravan then camped in the open fields and the requirements regarding how to surround their encampment? That's on Duff. Tezvav. Good. Number 6. Which of the one why the halacha goes according to Beis Hillel? That's on Duff. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff they learned whether one would be chayef if they threw an object into a mavi mafulash that had a korah? That's on Duff. Yud Beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have a malchukas about putting kankatom into the ink for the parsha of Sota? That's on Duff. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have a malchukas about twin korahs with a combined width less than a tefach? That's on Duff. Yadad. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which of the one about Levi's method of narrowing a wide mavui? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one of the 5 reasons why the Parsha Tzitzis is included in Kriya Shema? That's on Duff. Yud Beis and Brachas. Good. Number 2. Which of the one about the mice were B'Shem Bar Yochai and his son leaving the cave? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel and Shabbos. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which stuff we have a question whether a woman's chiv to bench is deraisa or derabanan? That's on Duff. Chaf and Brach is excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.